Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 5th, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
We are getting exposed to bisphenol A primarily through polycarbonate plastics.
If you're going to want to get your talking right, your driving is going to suffer.
We made the PVP biocompatible so that it could be put in a state where it could be implanted.
The CDC has determined that over 90% of us have detectable amounts of bisphenol A in our blood.
This week, we'll tell you about the latest technological innovations, from clothing that could power your cell phone to lasers to clean precious works of art. We'll also explore the downsides of technology and the health risks of plastic. First up, Suzanne Bard says animals often inspire innovation.
University of Florida engineers have developed a surface so water-repellent that droplets roll off it like ball bearings. They modeled it on spider legs, which are covered with tiny water-repelling hairs. Materials scientist Wolfgang Sigmund says they tried to improve upon the hair's naturally crinkled, irregular pattern, but it turned out that nature knew best.
The perfect structures work, of course, but they don't work as well as structures that are actually more damaged looking.
Sigmund says the material's nearly frictionless interaction with water could have all sorts of applications. For example, it could reduce the energy needed to pump water through plumbing, and it could also be used to create easy-to-clean coatings, since water picks up dirt and debris as it rolls off the surface.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, Justin Warner looked into some new ideas for generating small amounts of useful electricity.
As technology advances, the demand for battery power keeps growing, especially for gadgets we carry around with us. But rather than constantly changing the batteries or plugging them into a wall, some engineers are working on ways to power them with things we're wearing, or even with our own bodies. One of these engineers is Ichie of Stanford University. In the journal Nano Letters, he and his colleagues describe a technique for making textiles like cotton and polyester electrically conductive by dipping them in a dye laced with tiny structures called carbon nanotubes. Che says these textiles can hold a charge just like a conventional battery and serve as a power source for your iPhone or BlackBerry. He says they could also put electronic functions into the fabrics themselves, from temperature-sensitive heating to medical monitoring. One design hurdle is to coat the fabrics with a sealant so they're safe to wear against your skin. Your body also generates energy all the time just by moving. Now, Princeton University nanotechnology engineer Michael McAlpine and his colleagues have taken a big step toward harvesting energy from the involuntary movements inside our bodies. They worked with PZT, a fine crystal that's long been recognized for its ability to efficiently convert mechanical energy into electricity.
What we did here is we made the PZT biocompatible so that it could be put in a state where it could be implanted. And generally, people don't think of PZT as being implantable because the P stands for PB, which is lead. And so it's generally not something you would want to put in your body. And so people haven't done those kind of studies. But what we did here is we found a way to print PZT ribbons onto a biocompatible silicone.
Easier said than done, since creating quality PZT requires high temperatures that would melt silicone.
And so what we did is we separated the process into two steps. One is the actual growth of the PZT ribbons. That's done at high temperatures to get the best quality material. And then there's a second step, which is done at room temperature, where we actually then print them onto the silicone.
Then they demonstrated that the PZT harvested energy just as well after the printing process. There's still a lot of development ahead, but eventually the plan is to stick a piece of this material directly on a lung. Then it could convert the motion of each breath into electrical power for a pacemaker. And, of course, the energy-harvesting material could also be used outside the body, for example, in shoes that charge your electronic gadgets as you walk.
Thanks, Justin. Doctors use lasers to vaporize warts and unwanted tattoos, among other things. But art conservationists also use lasers to clean masterpieces. Salvatore Ciano of the Institute for Applied Physics in Florence, Italy, has co-authored a paper reviewing the state of the art. He says the key is to fine-tune the laser's pulse duration. In other words, the length of each discrete burst of laser energy, which ranges from billionths to millionths of a second.
The temperature rise, the mechanical release to the target, and other physical aspect strictly depend on pulse duration.
Siano also introduces some innovations. His team cleaned ancient silver coins better by using the laser underwater and made laser cleaning safer for frescoes by determining the exact damage thresholds of about a dozen different paint colors.
Speaking of art news, doctors routinely use an imaging technology called optical coherence tomography, or OCT, to look for evidence of retinal diseases in the human eye. OCT can find abnormalities in different layers of the tissue. But now researchers in Poland have discovered that the same technology can help uncover forged paintings. OCT lets them see many different layers of a painting without harming it. And in other tech news, scientists in Spain report in the journal Applied Physics Letters that they've developed a method for using ultrasound to analyze leaves without touching them. They shoot pulses of ultrasound at the leaves and listen to how they vibrate. That reveals the leaves' water content, density, and other information that could indicate signs of stress or disease in trees and crops.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, technology has its downsides as well. For instance, most people know that talking on a cell phone impairs your driving. Now a team led by Ensar Becik of the University of Illinois has found that the reverse is also true. Psychologist Gary Dell says that when people were driving, as opposed to just sitting in a car, they told pre-memorized stories less accurately. They also had trouble listening to somebody else, whether that person was on the phone or sitting beside them. Dell says driving and talking seem to compete for your attention.
What we found is that if you don't really pay attention to your talking, if you protect your driving, your talking gets bad. So if you're going to want to get your talking right, your driving is going to suffer.
So you might want to avoid really important topics when you're behind the wheel. In our final story today, there's been a lot of press lately about the safety of polycarbonate plastics that contain a compound called bisphenol A. Suzanne looks at the science beyond all the hype.
Bisphenol A, also known as BPA, is found in water bottles, food containers, the lining of metal cans, and other consumer products that bear the recycling symbol number 7. But the chemical was initially developed as a synthetic estrogen.
So it was originally thought that it might be a good drug, but it wasn't. It didn't do as well as another drug, diethylstilbestrol. So it was dropped. And it only got used in polycarbonate plastic later. So it has sort of an interesting history.
That's neuroendocrinologist Heather Pattisall of North Carolina State University. She says BPA eventually became a staple of plastics production.
Bisphenol A is a high volume chemical, so we make a lot of it right now. And the amount of BPA that we make has gone up very fast over the last decade. So a 10-year-old child would have gotten exposed to much less when they were an infant than they are now, just because it's more prevalent in our environment. The CDC has determined that over 90% of us have detectable amounts of bisphenol A in our blood. So we're all exposed. Children are generally exposed to higher levels than adults because they put things in their mouth. And most of the time they're eating with plastic, you know, plastic forks, plastic plates, because they throw it on the floor, you know?
Okay, so BPA is everywhere, and kids are more likely to be exposed to it now than in the past. But is that a problem? Unfortunately, the evidence seems to be pointing to yes.
Exposure in development is more severe because that's when the body is being built, and that's when hormones are directing how that body should be built. So if you have a little baby boy, and he normally wouldn't be exposed to that estrogen, but you put a ton of bisphenol A in there so his brain gets estrogenized, you can't go back and correct that. That's a permanent change to the structure and function of his brain. So that's the concern, is that exposure in development is going to lead to very permanent effects, whereas exposure in adulthood could be reversed.
Pattisall says BPA exposure disrupts reproductive development in both rats and humans.
So what happens with our rats is they go through puberty too early, and this mirrors the trend that we're seeing in girls in the U.S., where the age of puberty is getting lower. There's good epidemiological data now from the U.S. and also from Europe that the age of puberty in girls is dropping, and nobody really understands why that is. The answer is probably multidimensional. It's probably nutrition, obesity, stress, a whole bunch of other factors. But there is this hypothesis that exposure to these compounds that can mimic estrogen are contributing to this accelerated puberty in girls.
If you're wondering why BPA isn't better regulated, Pattisall notes that it is slowly coming under greater scrutiny.
And if you take the animal data as a whole, it looks like bisphenol A and a lot of these other endocrine disrupting compounds are a really serious problem and are a really serious threat to human reproductive health. And so we should pay attention to them. The EPA has a pretty rigorous plan in place to screen for chemicals that could cause cancer and overt toxicity and death, but they don't have a good plan in place to screen for chemicals that cause endocrine-disrupting properties. The EPA is beginning to work on this. They were directed to start more than a decade ago, and they're just now getting going and identifying chemicals they want to start screening. The FDA has become interested in this. Just in the last couple of weeks, they've reversed their position on bisphenol A and went from not being very concerned about it to having moderate concern. So this is something that's caught the eye of regulatory agencies, and we need to come up with a good way to adequately screen for these compounds so that we don't use them in our household products and become exposed to them.
If you're concerned about exposure to BPA, Pattasol has some suggestions.
The easiest thing to do is to keep your plastic out of the microwave and not to heat it, because heating plastic speeds up the rate at which these compounds leach out. So that's the easiest thing. Just heat your food on a ceramic or glass dish instead of a plastic dish. You can find bottles at the store that are labeled BPA-free, so presumably they don't have any BPA in them.
She also recommends using stainless steel water bottles instead of plastic.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week's podcast will be all about marine life. We'll tell you about a microorganism that causes bizarre behavior in California sea lions and how whales depend on these same organisms for their success. And we'll reveal why some marine animals come in a very bright shade of green. If you can't wait for next week's podcast, you can get your daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. Also, check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And remember, if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question on the show, you'll win a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.